Brandon and Tom here to guide you through another episode on how to save more money in mortgages and real estate. Let's go, buddy. Number one, and this is a huge one for me, do not buy a new vehicle. Whether it's a truck, van, car, or motorcycle, if you're financing it, it is going to hurt your profile.
Yeah, and one thing people don't realize is it's not the amount of money you're paying for the vehicle. It's actually the monthly payment that's going to hurt your application. So typically speaking, if you have a monthly payment of $500 a month, that can impact your mortgage qualification by up to $100,000 of mortgage amount.
For sure. And a lot of people think in terms of biweekly because that's how car dealerships and everyone has set this up to make it very attractive, but they don't make that monthly and they don't consider that on how it hurts their mortgage application. So people will say, okay, well, I need this car to get to work. I need X to get here. And the reality is you don't necessarily need that brand new vehicle to do it. I can tell you that in building my portfolio right now, I'm up to my second property and I'm driving a 2011 Volkswagen Jetta that I paid $1,500 cash for. It gets me there. It's not sexy, but I think growing that rental portfolio is sexier.
So point number two, watch your credit card spending and don't let payments fall behind.
So when we say watch your credit card spending, what we really mean is watch your utilization. So what this is if you have a $1,000 limit, don't spend over that $500 marker each month. And if you do, make a payment against it. The other key piece here is we want you to pay off your credit card in full every month. And if you're thinking this is going to be really hard for me from where I'm at, just start making the biggest payment you can and be aggressive with that right now, okay? If you're not currently spending on your credit card, there's no sense in starting. And don't make the minimum payments. That is the biggest catch with credit cards because essentially you're just going to be paying the interest on things. Another quick tip here is to set your payments on auto pay. The reason for this being, we just had a client who missed his payment and he had overutilized his credit card and it dramatically dropped his credit profile from being an A client down to a B client, which meant he could no longer get the mortgage he was approved for. And this was really scary for his family. And thankfully, we were able to work around things with the lender and get an exception on it. But if you don't have brokers like us or someone in your corner to leverage those relationships, this could really screw you up and set you up for losing your deposit and missing out on your dream home.
Yeah, and I think with that client that you're talking about specifically, he missed a payment and he went over limit, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so both of those things are going to really impact your credit score. And I think with that client specifically, it dropped his score by 100 points. So it can really have a big impact. So this next point is probably the most common and the biggest killer amongst them all. But before we get there, please hit that subscribe button so that way you get notified on the next video and you don't miss out on saving more money with mortgages and real estate.
100%. And this one is tempting. You have a bad day and you say, fuck it, I'm going to throw in the towel. But do not quit jobs, change jobs, or become self-employed while you're waiting to purchase your home.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason why is because when we qualify you for your mortgage right off the bat, it's based off of what your income is at the time, where you're working, and what you're doing for employment. So if you're going from, let's say, a T4 employee and you decide, you know what, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and be self-employed now, well, that can severely impact your application because typically we can't even use your income at that point.
100%. And also different types of roles get qualified differently. Some things it's a two-year average. Commission, for instance, would be a two-year average. Self-employed, you'd be 2 years on your T1. There's programs around this, but usually they require at least one full year. So you want to avoid stepping on this landmine. A lot of people think, well, I was in tech before. Now I'm doing my own tech startup. It's the same industry. Why would the lender care? Well, the lender cares because before you were in tech and you had a multi-million dollar company backing you and making sure you had a paycheck every 2 weeks, now you are solely responsible for running the expenses of that company and paying yourself. And as you can see, there's a lot of exposed risk in scenario number two. There's also a greater upside, and we're not discrediting that or entrepreneurship. But in the eyes of the lender, all they care about is risk.
That's exactly it. And we love entrepreneurship, but please just save it until after your mortgage closes.
Point number four is do not make risky investments with the money you have saved for your down payment. So there's a lot of tools you can use for your down payment, like the RRSP or the First Home Savings Account, that are investment vehicles that you should be buying some form of investment within. The key point here is you do not want your down payment to diminish by the time you need to access it. So let's say, for instance, you're contributing $8,000 to your first home savings account. What you buy in that account, you don't need it to go up to $10,000 in the couple months you're waiting to buy or the year. What you really want to avoid is that dropping to $6,000 because now you've lost that chunk of your down payment that you're counting on.
Yeah. And what I typically recommend clients to is, let's say we're closing 30, 60 days out. I actually recommend pulling it from your account once you have your home solidified and all conditions have been waived, because that hedges against the risk of your investment falling as you're waiting for your property to close. And this next point kind of ties into the one we just talked about. Don't play with your down payment and use all of it for your furniture and appliances. Yes, you need furniture and you need all of this stuff for your new home, but don't dip into that down payment, because at the end of the day, we need that to close your mortgage.
100%. And you're probably going to see a continuing thread here, but in that temptation to get new furniture, to get new things, you're going to go to stores like The Brick, like Home Depot, that are going to offer you new sources of credit. Do not take new sources of credit right now. Number one, it will hurt your credit profile. And if a lender repulls your credit, they'll see that you're credit seeking. Number two, if you borrow against these cards, that impacts your ratios as well and will also impact your overall borrowing portfolio. So while it can be tempted to grab that new couch, put it on a card that doesn't have like a payment for 6 months, it does still show on your credit profile and can hurt your overall application.
Point number seven, do not make large deposits into your bank account. So this one's very common for clients to do, and it's because no one really educates people on what not to do with this, because what they're doing is maybe they're transferring money from one account over to the other. Any little movement in your account for large sums of deposits and transactions, we have to trace under the Anti-Money Laundering Act. Every lender will ask for these large deposits going into your account. So try not to really move them around and try not to deposit lump sum of cash into your account, because we have to trace it at the end of the day.
Exactly. And the magic number here is 90 days. So let's say you were a really good drug dealer, or you were scared of the banks and you're sitting on tens of thousands of dollars stuffed into your mattress. Don't go put that in the bank right before you're closing. You're going to want to put that in slowly over a period of time and stop 90 days before. Point number eight is another landmine that people often do in an effort to be helpful to us, and that is consolidating all their funds in one account. As Tom mentioned before, we need to show a history of funds. And so when you pull things from your TFSA, your RRSP, your first home savings account, the checking account your grandma set up for you, and you try to consolidate all into one account to make it clean for us, it actually makes it very messy, and we need to now pull 90-day statements from all these other accounts. Once we have the down payment signed off on, by all means, consolidate those funds and make it easy to transfer to your lawyer. But before we give you that green light, just leave it alone.
Point number nine, do not co-sign a loan for anyone. So this one is huge, because essentially, if you're co-signing for anybody, friend, family, doesn't matter, if you're on title of that mortgage, that will count towards your current application.
Exactly. And I've seen this before, where someone felt like they were going to be helpful to their friend and they co-signed on their mortgage and their friend was super happy about it. But then it came time to actually fund that person's mortgage. I'm like, whoa, you're now on a mortgage somewhere else. Did you buy something you didn't tell me about? She's like, no, I just co-signed to help my friend out. And I was like, well, flip side of this now is your friend is going to have to co-sign on yours to make this work. So now they're both on each other's mortgages. They don't want to be there. She would have been on her own and now has this extra thing to deal with down the line.
Yeah, and people are doing it out of a big heart, which I understand. But if you're going to do that, try to do it after you close the loan. And keep in mind, going forward as well, like even if you've closed on your mortgage, maybe you want to buy an investment property in the future, or maybe you want to qualify for a bigger mortgage because you're moving up the property ladder. These are things you do need to consider whenever you're co-signing for a mortgage.
100%. Okay, last point here is a little bit of a bonus one, because it's something to look out for once your mortgage is funded. And that is, do not make any major purchases or financing decisions. You want to get comfortable with your new household budget. You're going to have new property tax, new utilities, new mortgage payment, a lot of these things that you're going to have to adjust and probably tweak your spending habits to. If you add something into the mix that's financed or a large payment, it can add unneeded stress. So what I would say is just kind of get the lay of the land, spend a couple months, get used to making these payments, and then make sure you have the comfort level in your budget to add these things back in.
While it seems like an exhausting list, an easy thing to remember is just take up any big decision with your mortgage broker or bank rep, whoever you're working with, before making that decision. Because at the end of the day, the last thing you want is there for to be an issue at closing.
Exactly. And if you're getting ready to buy your first home or your next investment property, hit the subscribe button and follow along for more tips from the Canadian Mortgage Guide.